Welcome to the Grace Place Weekly Podcast. No matter your size, age, shade, or background, here you'll receive compelling lessons suited to help guide your walk with Christ and your relationships with others. Please join us now for this week's podcast, recorded live from Grace Place in St. Paul, Minnesota.
I want to read a portion of Scripture, one of the most wonderful stories in the Bible. It's been sung about, songs have been written. It's in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37, please. When Terry fell, we were in Ohio at her mom's house. Terry's mother, June, had been diagnosed with brain cancer, and we went there to help. And in the middle of all that, one evening, Terry fell. She passed out, fell, and hit her head and broke her neck, as you know, and it's been all this time recovering. I sat down the day after we came home from the hospital early in the morning, and I said to God, "What are you doing? We were trying to do something good, and this tragedy happens, and I don't understand the path. What are you doing?" And he said to me, "I'm working on your testimony." So for the last 7 weeks, I've been talking about testifying, about your testimony. Last week when we had a guest singer here, her first words was, "I have a testimony." Yep. Well, I about fell out of my chair. I thought, that's just awesome. And this idea that he's working on, giving me a reason to praise him, has turned into a pretty serious doctrinal issue, and I'd like to address ageless misconception. Ageless. There is a concept. I think it might have started way in the early church, somewhere in about 300 or 400 AD, and that is that you would come to church and sit and listen to a preacher preach and thereby receive the word of the Lord. There were few Bibles. Most of the people in the congregations didn't have a Bible. And so the idea grew that you had to come to church if you were going to hear from God. And that exalted the preacher, the priest, into a place that's beyond reason, when the truth of the matter is, I'm just a man, I'm just a guy like everybody else. But the concept is, we make this separation, and because of this tradition, people like you lost their drive to know the Lord for themselves. They would follow rules, regulations, and it was enough. It was satisfying. Religion became satisfying. But then something starts to stir in a person's heart. It's called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been poured out on all of you. You all are recipients of the grace of God. He said, "I'm going to pour my Spirit out on all flesh," and he wasn't kidding. He didn't say, "I'm going to make you a candidate for it. If you do good, I'll do it." He said, "I'm going to do this." He said to Abraham, "I'm going to bless all the families of the earth through you." When Jesus died, he died for all of us. He took care of all of our sins. He carried his blood into that place, offered it once for all time. You are children of God. And a part of the misconception is, you have to get good to get God. No, God's been dealing with you all of the time. But we have this other tradition that says that can't be God because I have to hear that from a preacher or from someone who is learned. But the truth of the matter is, he has been speaking to your heart. The good news is, he's always been with you. You're already accepted. You don't have to do anything to get accepted. He's already, and what his desire is, the Bible says, we love because he loved first. So his desire would be that you grow in your relationship with him, not that you would become independent of one another, but that you would not be dependent on one another. I'm helping you now. It's a big deal because you have personal access to God. You don't have to wait for me or anybody else. You can praise the Lord in your shower and have church. You can start thinking about God while you're driving and feel the presence of God. If you'll quiet these other Can I say lies? If you can quiet those lies, you'll become aware of the voice of the Lord. You'll hear the voice of God. You have a right. It's been too long since somebody said this, and I know this is just a little church over here in the corner of North St. Paul, but the truth is, you have a right. You have a God who is your God. You can hear His Spirit speak to you. Now listen to this. Here we go. Because that Spirit is in you, you also know when somebody says something that doesn't, man, just doesn't measure up with that Spirit of grace and the Spirit of love that's in you. You say, something's wrong with that. We try to do it. We try to carry it out, but we know inside, this is too hard for me. This is not what God wants from me. This is killing me. Religion is driving me crazy. It's wearing me out. Would somebody just get me to Jesus where I can get some help? You know, what I'm telling you right now is not the first word. I'm just confirming what you know in your spirit. That you've heard preachers preach and you've heard things. And you say, Pastor, are you against? I'm against religion. I'm against what people have heard that have, it's like a barrier between me and my relationship with God. I worried about my failures and my actions and my performance and whether that would separate me from God. And some of you need to lay that down today and understand that the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you, I love you right now, right where you are. Get up. Don't waste another day wallowing around in your self-condemnation. Just stand up on your feet and accept the grace and mercy of God and let's move on. That's what the Spirit says. Don't waste another thought about yesterday or last month. Just right now, you are forgiven. Right now, you're forgiven. His blood is bigger than all of our sins put together, not just yours. He's a great and mighty God. He does not count men's sins against them. He does not. Every time you breathe, you got a new start. Oh, somebody praise the Lord with me right now. So what I'm saying to you is, I want to develop in you, I want to teach you, I want to preach to you, that that presence of God, that sense of God, that moment when your mind and God are in harmony, and you sense that peace of God, value that more than you value people's acceptance or applause. Value that. That's what I want. I want a relationship with God. Now listen to me, it's not enough. He meant it this way, that we gather together. It's not enough that you have a personal relationship with God. You have to have a husband, a wife, a family, children, friends, a church. Because there's a part of you that is also social. But we've got the thing turned upside down. We haven't, but churches do. And churches attract people. Jesus said to all the followers, you're here just because of the bread and the fish. I want you to be here because you love my word. And we can value the social thing, the program thing, more than God until we can have church without God. We can have song service. We can raise money. We can have programs. But there's a hunger down inside of me as your pastor. I want the presence of the Lord. I need the Spirit of God. We need His presence when we come here. People need delivered. People need healed. I need Him to touch my spirit and change my mind. And what's so incredible is I can have the same mess in my mind 500 times, and for 500 times He'll keep dealing with me and get it straight. I can get, like Nate said, you can get it straight in the morning and by tonight be screwed up in your head, but He wants to get you out of that cycle and say, learn to believe me. Trust me when you're away from here. Hear my voice. Today, hear my voice. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So God is working to build inside of you a personal testimony. That's what He's doing. He has a personal plan for your life. Kim, I told you, in Jeremiah, let me read this verse to you. This is Jeremiah. I got 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11. Did I give that to the guys on the computer? I don't know. I get here in church with you, and my mind goes a million miles an hour. This is Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Somebody say the Lord. Look at me. The Lord has plans for you. God Almighty has plans for you. He has plans for you. Let me ask you gently, have you ever been doing and going in the right direction and felt such incredible peace and joy, like this is what life is? This is right. Have you ever turned off that path and said, this isn't right, there's something wrong, I don't feel whole, I'm not complete? And then you think right, you get back on track and you go, now this is the plan that God has for me. Have you? Do you know what I'm saying? There's a sense of great joy, a community with God, of unity with God, all right? I know the plans I have to, plans to prosper you. Would everybody say prosper?
Prosper.
Say prosper. God wants to prosper you. He's not taking anything from you. He delights in your prosperity. Boy, that's weak, but some of you need to hear me. He has plans. He has plans. Now, you can screw up the plans. Man, you can jeopardize that by going your own way. But God has plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Now, your testimony, the word of God that would come into you, what you would say, what you would testify, is what God has said to you, what the word of God has planted in you. That's what should come out of your mouth. I'm going to prosper. I am going to prosper. I have hope. I have hope. You're not going to believe this. We brought our two youngest grandkids to church today. Avery and Robbie are in Sunday school right now. Do you know what the Sunday school, you want to know what our discussion was? Tell them this isn't the truth, about whether or not Donald Trump is a good president. I promise. Avery said, well, I had a third-year-old say he was going to try to tear our houses down. I said, what? Kids who don't have a future. Words that take away your hope. I'm preaching to you today. Get this inside you. Make this your testimony. I have hope. I am going to prosper. I have a future. It's not over for me. Hear me. And once that gets on you, you start thinking, my children have hope. My children have a future. My grandchildren have hope. I have a hope for a future for my grandkids. All the gloom and doom and scary stuff, I don't believe any of it. God is in control. My testimony is, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. You're with me. Somebody praise the Lord. So let's go to Ezekiel quickly, 37. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. I'll try to finish with this. We're going to be just a... Thank you. Okay, that's one vote out of several hundred, but I think that vote... There's two votes. Anybody else? Joe? Yes, yeah. Okay. This is the funnest story, one of the most unbelievable, weirdest stories in the Bible. The hand of the Lord was upon me and brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. Imagine now, in Palestine, rocks, dry, some green plants and bushes, but a valley of dry bones. There's bones all over the valley. He led me back and forth. Had to walk around in these bones among them, and I saw a great many bones. You know, when the Bible says many, it's one thing, but when it says a great many, that's a bunch of bones. On the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. Now, this is real important because it's bones, and they're very dry, and there's a lot of them. And God said, Son of man, can these bones live? How many of you know Yogi Berra said, it's not over till it's over? And it's not over. I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Before we go too far, dry bones equal hopelessness, death, done, over. And you may think it's over. But God said, preach to the bones. Hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will. Somebody say, I will. No, shout, I will. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. Boy, this is a specific word to somebody in the house, many of us in the house. God said, I'm going to bring you back to life. I will attach. I will. Somebody shout, I will. This isn't something we can do. It's not something you can conjure up. It's not something you get excited about and make happen because of your mental attitude. And I love good mental attitudes. I pray sometimes my wife would have a good mental attitude. She prays that I would have a good mental attitude. But this is more than just, this is more than that. I'm going to put tendons on you, make flesh come on you, and cover you with skin. I will, God said. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Oh, there's nothing like it when the word of the Lord comes into you and you have this testimony. I've heard from God. Jane Skinner, I'm telling you, the day I walked into the hospital room, the Lord said, no. 6 Sundays ago, the Holy Spirit spoke to me about my wife, and I laid hands on her and said, this is not faith on the run. I'll be back. I'll be here. And when the doctor declares that she's well without surgery, I'll be here to tell you the Holy Ghost said that before the doctor said it. When the Holy Ghost says, I will heal you. And I'm telling you today, this is bigger than healing. This is bigger than one family. This is bigger than you than who are saying amen right now. The Holy Spirit is saying to you, the body of Christ, I will, I will, I will. The answer is yes. I will put skin on you. I will put flesh on you. I will bring you back. I will, I will. My God in heaven. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise. I love this. The song's about this, you know. Thigh bone connected to the hip bone. The rattling sound of the bones came to get. Then hear the word of the ankle bone connected to the shin bone. The shin bone connected to the knee bone. The knee bone connected to the thigh bone. Hear the word of the. I love that. Skin covered them. There was no breath in them. Then verse 9, he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Don't you see how important that is? Do you get what I'm, my point is not so much the bones and the skin. It's the fact that when God says it, when God puts a testimony in your heart, when he said to me, no, she will not have to have surgery. Lay hands on her right now. In front of the, I had a moment of chagrin. Don't you sometimes? Oh, not in front of everybody. They just told us Friday they're going to do this. Right now, lay hands on her and say there will not be surgery. Before the doctors say it. And so I'm standing here today humbled that you, please don't misunderstand me. It's not Ezekiel and it isn't Mickey. It's the word of the Lord that brings this to pass. Do you get that? I want you to see that God's speaking to you. The whole point of my first portion of this message is to say, when God speaks to you, he's the same God that speaks to Ezekiel. It's the same God. Tendons appeared on them, skin covered them. He said, prophesy of the breath. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. Breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Please watch this now very carefully, 13 through 14. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. What's the next portion? What's it say? Somebody say, they say.
They say.
Somebody say, they say.
They say.
Now, I've read about 4 or 5 times now where the Bible says, God said. The sovereign Lord said. Did you notice that? How many times I'm kind of on that point? The Lord said. God said, I will go. The Holy Spirit said. God directed. And then we have a they said. They say, our bones are dried up. Our hope is gone. and we're cut off. That's what they say. Prophesy to them. This is what the Lord says. I'm going to open your graves and bring you up out of them. I'm going to bring you back to the land of Israel. Then my people will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves, bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I am the Lord. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. The title to my message today is He Said, She Said, and Then He Said. The title to my message is She Said, and He Said, but Then He Said. Hear the word of the Lord. There is healing in this house. There is hope in this house. There is prosperity in this house. You have a future. Go home today with hope and future and prosperity in your blood. And when you open your mouth, say it. I have a testimony. The Spirit of the Lord has spoken to me. I know what it looks like. Dry bones and dry bones everywhere. Cut off. Hopeless. I get it. I know what they said. I know what she said. I know what he said. But he said, you're going to live and not die. I just want to relate one more moment to you. Steve Podgorski said to me as we had our Bible study that 11 years. I'm not looking for a relationship. My path. I just don't want that. Listen to this, Jolie. This is so powerful. You're such an example, you and Jan. And suddenly there's a connection. And they see one another. And they're in love. They're acting like two kids. I gotta calm them down. And what's happening is, Steve, who comes from a different tradition, churchless, now God is building a testimony. Look what I've done for you. Brought you out of darkness. Found you when you weren't looking for me. Brought you together with the love of your life. Gonna get baptized this morning. Start all over again. Hallelujah. What is that? What's God doing to Steve? I'm only using him as an example. You know what he's doing? He's making a testimony in that man. So that when people look at him, he's got to say, God was in my life. God was good to me. Come on, Paulie, wave your hand at me. Oh, my God. You look back there at Paul. Stand up just for a minute, Paul. We want to see what a real mess looks like. Look at Paul. Look at that guy. That guy was a mess. We have been through hell together. But there he sits back there today, married and enjoying life and prosperous and healed. I'm telling you, Paul, you have a future, sir. Don't let the past chase you. Believe that your son, your kids, believe that God Almighty has his hand on your family and that they have a future and they have hope. Let him lift your spirit and bring you back to life. That's what he's doing today. The living God is in the house and giving life to us.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope this message has been a blessing to you. You can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes. To learn more about Grace Place, please visit our website at graceplacemn.org. Thanks for listening. May God bless you this week.